So we're going to do three more cases involving borrowing to finish off this series. Then after Yontif, we'll switch topics to Hashavas Aveda, returning lost articles. Tonight's case happens all the time. Someone had company coming over for Yontif. This case is from the Mishpatei Torah. So they had company coming for Shabbos. And they asked the neighbor who was going to be away for Shabbos, could their company sleep in their house, use the house for Shabbos? Could they borrow the house for Shabbos? And Reuven, the owner of the house, agreed. And Shimon, his neighbor's family, came in, stayed in the house. And during the course of Shabbos, the case was they forgot to lock the door when they went out to shul. Robbers came in and emptied out the house. Okay? So is Shimon's family, the visitors, chayav to pay for anything that was taken from the house? Now, if you recall, we spoke once about, last time, that if someone borrowed a house and a Scud missile, right, you also have the case, a Scud missile hit the house, so there we learned that there's no rules of, there's no liability of watching for houses, for real estate, for a shtar, for documents, for slaves, right, there's no rules there, there's no liability for the house itself. But now we're talking about the contents of the house, the movable items in the house, the beds, the sheets, the silverware, the money that was taken from the vault. But all those things are the borrowers, the head of the household, Shimon's family's head of the household, is he chayiv to pay Reuven for the losses to the house, being that they borrowed it?
Did you say they locked it or they didn't?
Let's say that they locked it first. And at the end we'll talk if they didn't lock it. And we'll just make it simpler. The first issue is, let's just review by a regular shomer, a shomachina, someone who you just asked to do a favor, can you watch my car for me, or I'll pay you to watch your car for me, a real watchman, a shomachina, a shomachachar, when is he responsible for either she or a geneva or a veda? When does that responsibility begin? So we learned before, this was way back, almost a year ago, that there's a machlokas Rishonim when the responsibility starts. Do we say he has to actually make a kinyan in it? Or do we say it's enough that the owner walks away from it and leaves it there, and that's enough for him to now be responsible if anything happens to it? Right, that's a machlokas. They brought a raya from the case of the Gemara said that someone says, can you watch this item for me? And he says, yeah, put it down in front of me. So from there, Tosus brings a raya. You see, you don't have to make any kinyan. You don't have to acquire it to be responsible. The fact that you said put it down there and he walks away, you're already responsible for it. The Rambam, though, disagreed. The Rambam holds that you're not called a shomer until you pick it up, until you acquire it. What do you do with that Gemara? So that Gemara we saw, they said that it could be within his four amas, right? So then he'll acquire it, or to that kinyan of being within his four amas, right? So that's an old machlokas, Tosfos in the Rambam. And it's really based on this Gemara that I have on the first side of the handout. So let's read this Gemara. This Gemara is going to be for another issue we're going to have later tonight. So let's look at the Gemara clear. Gemara by Metzia, Tzadi, Tessam, and Aleph. Amar Rav Huna. Rav Huna said, Hashoel kardu mechaveiro. If someone borrowed hashid from his friend. So here we're talking about a borrower. So baka b'kino. As soon as he chops his first piece of wood with it, so now he's acquired it. Lo baka lo, but if he didn't chop with it yet, lo kino, he did not yet acquire it. So Gemara wants to know what Rav Huna is talking about. Gemara asks Lamai, what's Rav Huna talking about, whether he acquires it or not acquires it? Elei mala onsin, if you say that as being a shoel, right, a borrower is high for an onus, for any unavoidable thing that should happen, he's high for anything, because he borrows it. That's what we learned before, that the fact that you have full benefit of this item, so you are willing to pay for anything that will happen to it. So if you say that's what we're talking about, and we're saying that he's only going to be chayiv for an onus once he actually used it, but if he had not yet used it, he is not chayiv for an onus, so maishana para. Why the case of a cow different than Mishnah Sheila. The Mishnah says that if someone borrows a cow, as soon as it enters his possession, even though he didn't actually use it yet, he's responsible for anything that happens for it. Right? So how can you say here he has the hashit in his hand and he's holding it? He made a kinyan already. Why do you say he also has to chop wood with it? So the Gemara says you're right. To be responsible, he doesn't have to actually use it. As soon as it enters his possession, he's responsible for it. El Chazar, we're talking about, can the owner change his mind about lending it out? Right? If I said you can borrow it for, say, a week or two, and you start using it, Bakabo, if you start using it, I can't say, you know, I changed my mind, I don't want to lend it to you anymore. Because once I said I'll lend it to you for 2 weeks, and you started using it, so you have the right to keep it for that full 2 weeks that you agreed upon. But Bakabo, but if the borrower did not yet use the hatchet, so then the lender can renege on his agreement, and he can say, I changed my mind, I need it, I don't want to lend it to you anymore. So that's what Huna Talafer. Huna says that in relation to reneging on an agreement to lend something to someone, the owner is allowed to renege on that agreement as long as the borrower did not yet use it. But once the borrower uses it, so then he can't renege anymore. The Gemara then presents a few mandarmas that disagree, and the last one is plead Rav Elazar. Rav Huna disagrees with Rav Elazar. Because Rav Elazar said, Kedar shetiknu mashiach v'lekuchos, just like the Chachamim made a takana. Right? When you buy something, if you purchase something, midaraisa, as soon as you pay for it, it becomes yours. You now own it. But the Chachamim were worried that if I pay you for a car, and the car is sitting in the parking lot, and I pick it up tomorrow, and a fire comes or something comes to destroy it, you're not going to bother protecting it because it was already my property, not it was already the buyer's property, not the seller's. So the Chacham said that a buyer does not acquire something that he purchases until he actually pulls it into his possession, until he actually drives the car, pulls the cow. Right? So Rav Elazar says, just like the Chacham made a takana of Meshicha, that you don't acquire something you purchase, Bilakuchos, you don't acquire something you purchase until you make Kinyan. Meshicha, Kach Titnu Meshicha V'Shamrin, the same thing is by a Shomer, by these watchmen, that as soon as a Shomer pulls the thing into his possession, so at that point in time, even though he hasn't used it yet, the way Tosis understands the Gemara, the owner cannot go back on the agreement. But that's the way Tosis understands this Gemara. That the whole Gemara is talking about, does the owner have the right to renege on his agreement to lend out his item? Rav Huna says he has the right to renege until the borrower starts using it, and Rav Elazar holds, no, as soon as the borrower takes it into his possession, at that point in time, the owner can no longer renege, even though the borrower has not yet used it. But that's one way of understanding the Gemara. The Rambam, though, takes the Gemara literally. The last line, when Rav Elazar says, they made a takana of Meshicha, the Shomrin, the Rambam says, just like when you purchase something, it's not considered your property until you actually take physical possession of it. So the same thing if you borrow something or you're watching something for someone, you do not have responsibility. You're not liable for anything that happens to that object until you've taken physical possession of it. Even though the owner might have left and gone home and is sitting there in front of on your doorstep, a place where there's not where you can't make a kinyan, until you made a kinyan meshicha, you are not responsible for anything that happens to that object. Right? That's the two ways of learning this Gemara. Based on these two ways of learning this Gemara, on the other side, we have the Shulchan Aruch that brings both positions. The Shulchan Aruch regarding a regular Shomer, Shomer Chinam or Shomer Sachar, he says in Reish Sadi Aleph, Yesh mi Shomer Shah Shomer Hazem Yad Kishakibal Alav Lishmar. Some hold that a shomer immediately when he accepts upon himself to watch it, Osha Omer Hanef Lefonai, or he says, you leave it down in front of me. Finis Talkal Habayilin Mishmir, and the owners left it right there no longer on the scene to watch it anymore. So chayiv alav im pasha, he's chayiv for any negligence, afa pishal amashach, even though he made no kinyan. That's Tosfos's opinion. But some hold she'ein chayiv ad sheyimshach, the shomer is not liable until he actually pulls it into his possession. In a place where Mashiach will be a kinyan. Mashiach doesn't work everywhere. It only works in his own chatzir. It doesn't work in the Rishus HaRabim. So it has to be a Mashiach that will come. So those are the two opinions brought in Shulchan Aruch. What do you do in such a case? The Shach, first of all, says he likes the second Shita. Kein Yerikah, he says the Rambam, and he brings it right. The Rashi also holds that way, that a Shomer Chinam is not responsible until he makes a kinyan. Now, when we get to the rules of borrowing, Shulchan Aruch says a little bit differently. At the next thing on the handout, Shulchan Aruch and Simon Shin Mem, there he's talking about a borrower. So there the Shulchan Aruch says, Hashal Behema, if someone borrows an animal, Chayiv Mizvanusah, he's Chayiv to feed it, Mishar Shem Mashcha, from the moment he makes a kinyan on it, Asaf Yimesha Elos, until the end of his term of borrowing it. Now, even though he's talking about whether he's responsible to feed it, the Mefarshim say the same thing is true of if anything happens to the animal at that time. From the time that he borrowed it until the end of the borrowing term, from the time that he made Mashiach, from the time he made a kinyan until the end of the term, he's responsible for anything that happens. So the Shulchan Aruch clearly says that a borrower is not responsible until he makes a kinyan on it. And there the Rama says, Yeshamrim, now the Rama brings Yeshamrim, Delor Be'inim Mashiach, you don't have to actually make a physical kinyan, Elam Yashin, Estal Kol Bayim, as soon as the owners go away, so then you are, you're chayiv, you're responsible for anything that happens to that animal. So the obvious question is, why over here, Shulchan Aruch just mentioned the opinion of the Rambam, and it's the Rama that comes and brings the second opinion, and when it came to a regular Shomer, a Shomer Chinam, the Shulchan Aruch himself brought both views. So there's a couple of answers. The Machan Ephraim wants to say that even if you hold like Tosfos by a Shomer Chinam, that as soon as the owner goes away, you're responsible for anything that happens to that item, even though you didn't make a kinyan, that might only apply by a Shomer Chinam, a regular Shomer, but a borrower might be different. Because what's a Shomer Chinam? A Shomer Chinam is, I say, do me a favor, please wash this for me. Or I say, a Shomer Socher, I'm going to pay you to wash this for me. It's clear that what we're doing is, I'm asking you to wash this for me. Now the moment I leave, that's when you have to start watching it, right? Your responsibility is based on my asking you to watch it and your agreement to watch it. And the minute that I leave and I'm no longer watching it, you're responsible to watch it. But in the case of a borrower, I didn't ask you to watch this for me, and if you don't, you'll be responsible for it. You came to me to ask me to borrow it. The Torah says, if you borrow something from me, you have responsibilities if it gets stolen, or even if something unavoidable happens to it. An unavoidable thing, no one, you never chayiv on something that's unavoidable in Torah. Like if someone is forced to do an aveira, he doesn't have to bring a carbon for it, it's an onus. And only those three aveiras does one have to give up their life in case of an unavoidable thing. And here a borrower is chayiv for an unavoidable accident, and that's just because the Gemara says that since you are so happy that you have the ability to use this object, so that's why you commit yourself to pay for anything in the whole world that happens to it, unless it dies through the normal course of work. But that's because you're happy using it, so you're willing to commit yourself to that responsibility, to that liability. So the Machne Farm says it could be that even though Tosfos says a Shomer Chinam or a Shomer Socher is liable as soon as the owner walks away, that's because that was an explicit understanding. You're watching this for me and I walk away, I'm no longer watching it, now it's your turn. But by a borrower, the only responsibility is based on the fact that you're so happy that you're using it, so maybe that's only true when you actually start using it, or at least when you've made a kinyan on it so that the owner can no longer renege on it. Or it's likely that he'll no longer renege, right? Even if you hold that he can renege if he made a kinyan, but since most people don't, once it's in your house, he probably will no longer renege. So then you already are considered an owner on it. You're already considered to have made a kinyan and be responsible. So based on that, the Tzitzchei Choshen wants to say, that could be why the Shulchan Aruch even though he brings both views, when he talks about a regular shomer, when it comes to a borrower, when it comes to a borrower, there the Shulchan Aruch is definite that the borrower will not be chayiv, the shomer will not be responsible until he's actually made a kinyan. And the Ramah disagrees there also.
Okay, can you... Why do you have to go so far as to say that the shomer is happy when he starts using it? The act itself for a shomer hinam begins when he starts watching it, because what's he going to do? He's going to watch it. He's not going to use it.
Right.
The act itself for a shomer begins when he starts using it, because he didn't, having it in the next room to him is no use to him. So it's just the definition of the act.
Well, see, the first definition is really circular reasoning. You're saying, well, the act of his washing begins when the owner goes away. But that's only because we hold that when the owner goes away, he's responsible to wash it. But if you hold that he's not responsible to wash it until you make a kinyan, so then...
Okay.
So that means there's a... You know, so you have no possession of it. You're not responsible. Now, just to get these halachas clear here, in this halacha of Shoel, the Shach points out over here, right, even in the Shulchan Aruch holds that you have to make a kinyan to be called a Shoel, and the Shach says that means if you made a kinyan, even though you actually didn't use it yet, the fact that you made a kinyan, that's enough to make you responsible. And regarding the machlokas here also, he says, even if you want to say it's a machlokas, we have this old rule called kinli. Right, what do I want to do here? You borrowed it from me, and you didn't make a kinyan yet. And I say, look, even though you didn't make a kinyan, even though you didn't drive, you're borrowing my car, even though you didn't drive it yet, it was sitting in the parking lot when the guy came with the gun in and took it from you. So I want to say you should be chayiv, because according to Tosfos, not like the way the Machane Efraim understands it at least, but according to the Ramah, the Ramah says, the moment that I turn my back, you're responsible for anything that happens. Right, that's what I'm saying. But you can say, what, you want to collect money from me? You can't collect money from me, because I can hold of that legitimate opinion of the Shulchan Aruch, and the Rambam and the Machane Efraim says, Tosfos would agree with it, that I'm not chayiv until I make a kinyan on it. And since I didn't make a kinyan on it, I don't have to pay you. So the Shach says that in this case, the one holding the money, which most cases will be the borrower, can say, the Shoel could say, look, I hold like the Rambam, I don't have to pay you because I did not yet make a kinyan. Right, so let's go back to our case now. So based on that, if you're borrowing the house now, let's forget that it's a neighbor, let's say you borrowed the house. Or you're living in someone's house for Shabbos. You're borrowing the house. So when did you become a Shoel? When did you become a Shoel? Right, so according to the Rambam, you don't become a Shoel. According to the Rambam, you don't become a Shoel until you make a kinyan. What type of kinyan can you make on the house? So that we discussed. If you walked in the house and you locked the door, or it was locked and you opened it, you showed ownership over it, that's a kinyan chazaka. By making that kinyan in the house, through that you acquire all the objects in the house also for these rules of borrowing. So at that point in time, as soon as you made that kinyan on the house, you'll be responsible for anything that happens. A fire, rachmana l'slan, an armed robbery, rachmana l'slan, anything that could happen in the house, you're now responsible for the objects in the house because you're a borrower. According to the Ramah, even if you didn't lock the door, even if you didn't open or unlock or lock the door, you didn't make any kinyan in the house, as soon as the owner is no longer there, he says, here, you can have the house, goodbye. So at that point in time, you're already considered a borrower, and you'll be chayiv for anything that happens. Right? So it'll be that nafkamina. Now, on what are you a borrower? So what are you a shoel of, first, before we continue? I mean, that's just common sense now to say that you'll only be a borrower of things that you're likely to use. Right? He said, okay, you can use anything in the house. But if, you know, he has a safe and there's money behind it, he didn't mean that you crack the safe and use the money behind it and, you know, that, and you're a shoel on that money. So, you know, if the robber goes and breaks open the safe and takes the money out, so we can't call you a borrower, even if you made the kinyan on that money. But we're talking about the beds, right? You made a kinyan on the beds, you're planning on using the silverware if you're going to eat there. the dishes, whatever you're planning on using, the leichter, right? You become a borrower on that. Now the Mishpatei Atarah says, but it's also talking things that you were planning on using. He says, yeah, you could use the leichter, and you say, no, I'm not going to use the leichter, I'm going to use my little travel things that I have. Right? So by doing that, you save yourself from becoming a borrower on those leichter that he kept there. Where he said you have permission to use it, but you weren't planning on using it. He said you could use my silverware. Now it's you and your wife there, and he has service for 2048. I don't know if you become a borrower for the whole set. Possibly, I'm not sure how that would, you know, but he has different sets, milchus and fleishik, and you're only planning on eating a little bit there, if anything. So you only become a borrower on things that you're planning on using, even though he said you had rights to use it, but you only become a borrower on the things that you are planning on using. Right? So that would be the first halacha, assuming you were not negligent. Now, suppose you were negligent and, okay, you didn't make a kinyan whether you became a borrower or not, but you left the door unlocked when you went to shul, and because of that, they came in and robbed the house, assuming that it was negligent to leave the door unlocked. You know, it all depends on the neighborhood, whether it's, that's called negligent. But if it was negligence to leave the door unlocked and they came in, so then you're responsible for everything. Because why? Because even though you're not a borrower on the things you weren't planning on using, or on anything if you have not made a kinyan according to the Rambam, but at least you're a shomer chino. If someone lends you that your house, the understanding, the way Mishpatei Torah understands it, is that at least, okay, I'm letting you use my house, but you have to make sure you watch everything that's going on in the house. I didn't mean that you should leave the windows wide open and the doors wide open that anyone could come in and rob it. Right? There's an implicit understanding that you're a shomer chinam on everything that's in the house, even if you did not make even though you weren't planning on using it. Now, you're right. If you hold that you don't need to make a kinyan, if you hold that you need to make a kinyan to become a shomer chinam, so then, and you hold that a shomer chinam who does not make a kinyan is even patur on pshiyas, so then you're right, there might be something that's some way out over there. If you never end up using it, you just walked in and you left the door and you walked out right out, and you never used anything, and or you never made any kinyan, so then maybe you could say, like Tosis the Shita, you'll be, like the Rambam Shita, you'll be a patur because you didn't make a kinyan yet. Right? But we're talking, let's assume that you did make a kinyan. You locked and unlocked the door. So in that case, even though you did not become a shoel through locking that door on items you were not planning on using, but at least you become a shemachinim on them. And by becoming negligent, you'll be responsible for the theft of those items that came about through your negligence. And so just reviewing what we have until now, if you made a kinyan on the things you're borrowing by locking or unlocking a door, or actually sleeping, well, picking up the bed or picking up the silverware, you made a kinyan on them. So at that point, according to everyone, you become a shoel on those articles and you'll be responsible for anything that happens to them. If you did not make a kinyan, right, you just walked in and hadn't made any kinyan yet, so at that point we have the machlokas, Shulchan Aruch and Ramot, whether you're chayiv, and the Shach says you have a good case to say, I'm not paying you, because I hold like the Rambam, who says I'm not a borrower until I actually make a kinyan. I didn't make any kinyan here. Now, if you are going to be chayiv, when in the case where you made the kinyan, or according to the Ramah, even if you did not make a kinyan, if you became a shomer already, if you became a shoel, even though you're only a shoel on the things that you were planning on using, but you become a shemachinam on all the rest of the house, so therefore if you're negligent in leaving the door open, so you'll be chayiv for anything that gets stolen. If you were not negligent in leaving the door unlocked or open, and they broke in anyway, so that's where we say you'll be chayiv for the things that you were planning on borrowing, but not on the other items that were not part of your stay over there. Now, there's one other important issue we have to talk about, and that's a famous nesivus. Let's assume that we hold like the Rambam, because practically speaking, I think that's the way the halacha will come out, that you can never make a borrower chayiv until he's made a kinyan. Right? The Shach says you could say, I don't like the Rambam. Until you make a kinyan, you can't make him liable for damages. But do we say, if he uses the item, even though he's not yet made a kinyan, he becomes responsible for that. Right? If you sit on a chair, right, that's the case the Nesiva says. You sit on a chair. You do not acquire the chair. Right? You didn't pick it up. You didn't move it. You just sat on the bench. It's a bench that you just sat on. You didn't pick it up to move it. So you did not make a kinyan on that. Or there's a book laying on the table and you just look and you turn the pages. You didn't pick it up yet. Or a contempt, this is a real case that happened. It happened in yeshiva. Someone offered a friend that he could use his computer. And he came to the room to use the owner's computer. He didn't take it. It wasn't the laptop. He went to the owner's house and started using the computer. Right? You start using it. And something happens to it. An armed robber comes, a fire comes, or there's some negligence occurs. Right? Is that usage part of kinyan? So the Nesivas holds that it is. The Nesivas holds, based on this Gemara that we just learned in Bar Metzia, that even if you hold, you need a kinyan to become liable. If you just use it, that's considered enough to be called a kinyan. Why is that? Because if you think about this Gemara we just had, Rahuna said, if you borrowed the hatchet, so then you're chayiv. Now why are you chayiv at that point? So the Shita Mekubetzes over there, really the Ritva, he's quoting, says, why is that? Because, right, we're going in Rav Huna, it's not because you made a kinyan. In Rav Huna holds, this is not like we hold. Rav Huna holds, there's no takana of Mashiach HaVayshamru. Right, he's the first opinion. Rav Huna holds that even though there's no kinyan, there's no takana of kinyan Mashiach HaVayshamru, when you have benefit from, when you have hana from using that object, so that's like kesef, that's like acquiring it with kesef, right? What's kesef? Kesef is money or something that's worth money. Any benefit you get is valuable, like money. So as soon as you chop your first piece of wood, even though Rav Huna holds the fact that you made the Mashiach doesn't mean anything legally in that sense, but since you use it, the usage is like kesef, that's like, that hanoah is like kesef, so you become responsible at that point in time. So the Nesiva says, you see from this that when you use something, when you have actual benefit from something, even though you have not made a kinyan, even though here you do make a kinyan, but the kinyan didn't mean anything according to Rav Huna, as soon as you have actual benefit from some item, that's like you paid money for it, it's worth money to you, and you've acquired it. So it's no difference than chopping wood with a hatchet or sitting on a chair, starting to use the computer or reading the book. That's like a kinyan. So sitting on the bed or just using those items in the house, that would already be called a kinyan, even though you didn't lock it or even though you haven't made any real kinyan yet. Now the Nesivas continues. We learned that Rav Elazar disagrees. Right? Rav Elazar said, Rav Huna disagrees with Rav Elazar. Rav Elazar says there is a takana of Mashiach by Shamrim, that when you make Mashiach, you're chayim. So he says, he's just adding on, that in addition to usage making you chayim, or responsible for anything that happens, when you make a kinyan on it, then also you become responsible. It's an additional factor. It's not exclusive. They're not arguing. The Rav Elazar doesn't disagree with Rav Huna, he's just adding on that you, Rav Huna, you hold that you're not chayiv until you actually use it. No, I hold that as soon as you pick it up, as soon as you make a kinyan mashiach, you're responsible for it. But that's what the Nesivas holds. And that's what we're saying. That would make a big nafkamina over here. That even if he didn't actually make a kinyan of picking it up or locking the door, whatever the borrower used in that house, he'd be considered a Sherman, he'd be chayiv on that according to everyone, according to the Nesivas. But the Erech Shai disagrees with the Nesivas' understanding of this Gemara. He says, you're right, and Rav Huna holds the fact that you're using that hammer, that's considered like a kinyan kesef for which you are chayiv. But when Rav Elazar disagrees, Rav Elazar says, no, you don't acquire it through kinyan kesef, you acquire it through actually physical possession. just like when you purchase something. Now, when you purchase something, the rule is, even though, according to Midah Raisa, if when you pay for it, you now acquire it, the Chachamim said, no, you don't acquire it until you actually take physical possession of it. So same thing should be by a Shomer or by a Shoel, even though, according to the Raisa, as soon as you use it, whereas if they'd be kasev, you should be chayiv like Rav Huna holds, but the Chacham made a takana, no, you're not chayiv until you actually make a kinyan. And mere usage of it, that's like kasev, that's like paying for it, money will not be a kinyan. And we paskin like Rav Elazar, not like Rav Huna. So the Erev Shai and the Minchas Pitim also says that we don't hold that way. They disagree with the Nesivus. Now the Minchas Pitim says, you know, it's hard to the Nesivus makes a lot of sense, but we'll see, it brings a raya against it. And now, if you recall, we talked about this case in the past. The Minchas Pitim is in Rei Yosher. He was talking about this case where that person had borrowed a Sefer Torah and then he moved away and the Gabbai took over. And one of the issues he discusses there is how can you, and then the Sefer Torah got destroyed. So he said, how can you make the Gabbai chayiv for the Sefer Torah? He never acquired it. Are you going to say he used it, he read from it, but if he never made a kinyan on it, so he's not going to be chayiv, except according to the Nesivus, the usage would be called a kinyan. And on that he says, it could be that usage does not count. And they bring a raya against the Nesivus from this Gemara Baba Kama that I have on the first side of the handout. We don't have time to go through the whole thing, but the rule is, if you hire someone to work for you, and they ruin, or you hire a mechanic to fix your car, and he ruins your car while he's fixing it, is he responsible to pay for the damage? So the Gemara says over there, he's responsible if one of two conditions are met. And the only way he'll be exempt from liability is if he meets two conditions. Number one, he's an expert mechanic. And number two, he's not getting paid. But if he's amateur trying to do a job, he's responsible for anything that happens. And if he is getting paid, even though he's an expert, the fact that he's getting paid gives him more responsibility to be careful, and he is responsible for anything that happens. So the Gemara concludes that Rav Zeira said, if you want your butcher to be responsible if he slaughters the animal improperly and makes it a treifa, right? They used to give a live animal to the butcher, to the shofet, and shecht it for me. Now if he shechts it wrong, he slips, the whole animal's a treifa, and you lost costing me money. So if he's doing it for nothing, and he's an expert butcher, he'll be exempt from any liability. If you want to make him chayiv, yakin la dinner, give him a dollar before he starts. So now he's getting paid, he'll be responsible. So on that, the Shita Mekibetza, as the Ramah says, that if the Shochet would actually pick up the animal and take it into his possession, so then he'd be considered a Shomer. But the fact that he gets money, he doesn't become a Shomer, he just becomes responsible for anything that might happen to it in the course of his Shechting, but not if some outside occurrence happens. So from that, the Erev Shai, the Minchas Pitim say, you see here that the fact that you are getting paid, the fact that there's money, a transfer of money, doesn't make you a full Shomer. To be a full Shomer, you have to have physical possession of the object, right? Like the Ramah says that if he picked it up, if he pulled it, so then he'd be a full-fledged Shomer on anything that happens from it gets stolen, it gets burnt up, whatever happens, if it dies, he'll be chayiv. But the fact that he's getting paid, the money just makes him responsible as a worker. So based on that, they want to disagree with the Nesivus and say that the usage would not be considered enough to be a kinyan. So that's a machlokas. So summing up, if you borrow someone's house, there's a good case to say that you won't be responsible for anything that happens to the items you borrow unless you made a kinyan. What's a kinyan? That means that you pick up the objects, you move them, you lock the door. When you make a kinyan, now you're a full-fledged shomer. Until you've done that, there's a machlokas whether you are, and you could say, I hold that I'm not responsible until I made that kinyan. But like we said, you're only a shoel, you're only a borrower on the things that you were planning on borrowing, on the items that are for your use. But things that you had no intention of borrowing, that you are you're just a shomer chinam, and the application to that's relevant in a case where you were negligent in leaving the door unlocked and someone came and robbed it. The fact that Yerushalmi Chinu and everything else makes you responsible for negligence. But if what happened was a theft or certainly an onus, so then you will not be chayiv on those other items. You will only be chayiv on the things that you borrowed. Now, if you did not make a kinyan, but what you did was you used them, you slept on the bed, you used something even though you didn't pick it up, so there, according to the Nesivos, that's called the kinyan for which you should be chayiv. Whereas the Erech Shayin, the Mitzchus Pitim, we just learned to say they hold that's not yet a kinyan, so there also you would say I can hold like the Erech Shayin and Mitzchus Pitim and make myself patur. So, I mean, the bottom line is it's good to be careful if you borrow the house, and if you don't, if something happens, you very likely you did lock the door one time and you did make a kinyan with things that you are interested in borrowing, and you'll be responsible for those. The Mishpat Torah says one last thing. He says if those people are gone already, there's no way of collecting from the guests, but the neighbor is still here, right? Does the neighbor have to pay for the family thing, the things that the family borrowed? So he says as far that it could be, since Reuven knows Shimon, Reuven knows his neighbor, he doesn't know the neighbor's family coming from New York or some other city, he doesn't know them, so that makes him like an ori, that makes him like a guarantor, and he's saying, okay, I'm not the borrower, but I'm a guarantor for the borrower, and if something happens that the borrower is liable for something and he's not here to pay for it, so I take the responsibility. So whatever the family would be liable for, it could be that the relative who was the host, who's the neighbor of the other person, would have to take up that responsibility to pay for it.